All right, look in Romans 15 tonight. Look in verses 3 and 4. And the Bible says, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now look at verse 5. "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." As I look at this tonight, I want to deal primarily, I meant to read just verses 4 and 5, and somehow 3 got in there. Now if you look at verses 1 through 3, he deals with those that are strong. He says you need to bear the infirmities of the weak. And he says, and here's something he said. Now notice what he said in verse 1, "and not to please ourselves." You know, that's a pretty big deal right there. Do you realize that to help somebody and to bear somebody's infirmities and their weakness, to be a friend and to scotch somebody up, if I could say that, and go help them in a time of need, sometimes that means not pleasing ourselves. There's other things we would like to do. There's other places we'd like to be. Just to be honest with you, sometimes it takes a little work to bear somebody's burden. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time in our prayer life, and that to help bear somebody's burdens, or to be a friend, or to listen, or to go help and be a help to what they need. And he said, let every one of us please his neighbor. Now he said not to please ourselves, but in verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And so he said, you don't please yourself, but you please your neighbor. And those things that we do for them is to edify them. That word edify means to build up or to improve. You do those things to help your neighbor, to help those that need your help. And then he gives Christ as example in verse 3, for he said, for Christ pleased not himself. But what did he do? He said, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. And that's in Psalms chapter 69. But you'll find that, listen, that Christ took the reproaches of others when it wasn't his to do, and he done it anyway. You know, some things is to help some people, it just takes work sometimes. And sometimes we do it not pleasing ourselves, but to please others. But notice as we get to verse 4, things sort of change, and he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort in the Scriptures might have hope. And if there's ever a day, if there's ever a time that we need hope, it's now. If there's ever a time that the world needs hope, it's now. It seems like even church people and even Christians, seems like we're running out of hope, but yet we have the hope of glory, which is the Lord Jesus Christ living in us tonight. We're not out of hope tonight, friend. The Christian cannot run out of hope. And boy, ain't you glad of that tonight, that me and you do have a hope that goes beyond this world. The Bible talks about, I believe it is over in the book of Hebrews, it talks about in Hebrews 6, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul tonight. And listen, if your heart and your soul, if your salvation is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, me and you both have a hope tonight. Thank God for that. And so we find right here that he tells us how to have this, that we might have hope. He said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime. Now he's talking about the Old Testament right here. New Testament wasn't written, and he's talking about the Old Testament. And he said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And so first of all, number one, I believe if we're going to have hope tonight, then we're going to have to learn from the Scripture. You know, to learn something means not only to just know about it, but when you learn how to do something, I mean, when you really learn how to do something, then you just don't know about it, but you can do it. Amen. I mean, hey, listen, I know a lot about a lot of things that, let me see how I can put this in, but I can't do a lot of things. Amen. I mean, you ask me how they generate all this electricity. I kind of got an idea how it works and all of it because I've studied it and know that. But as far as being able to make it happen, I can't make it happen. But there's some of them boys, some of them men and women that knows how to make it happen. I mean, they know how to generate electricity and all those things. But he said, I want you to learn of the Scripture. You know, you had to learn one day that you were lost by the Scripture. It told you you was lost, and the Holy Spirit pricked our hearts and showed us that we were lost. And it was by the Scripture that Jesus spoke to our heart and told us we was lost and needed to get saved and what it meant to get saved. It was by the Scripture. We had to learn that. We learned that. I'm glad that I had Sunday school teachers growing up all my life that taught me who Jesus was and what He done. And one day God finally spoke to my heart and dealt with my heart, and I come and got saved. Ain't that a wonderful thing tonight? I know not everybody's got that, but I did. And listen, I'm proud of that. I am very proud of my spiritual heritage in the very fact that my mom and dad took us to church and taught us about Jesus. I mean, hey, I could be in a mess tonight, as Hunter said tonight, if I wasn't saved. I know I wouldn't be in church tonight. And boy, none of us would be tonight had we not got saved. Thank God for that. But I'm glad I learned who Jesus was. I'm glad I learned who Jesus was by the Scripture after I got saved. I didn't know a lot about the Lord before I got saved. Knowed I was lost. Knowed He could save me. And I knowed I needed to get saved. But boy, after that, I learned some things about Him. He says, whatsoever written aforetime, were written for our learning. Listen, we learned what it meant to be lost. We learned what it meant to get saved. Once we got saved, and we're still learning right now. You know, we learn how to live for the Lord and have life in Him, don't we? You know, my life is in Him tonight, not in me. You know how I learned that? Learned that in the Scripture. Learned that in the Scripture. And you say, well, didn't the Holy Spirit? Yeah, the Holy Spirit takes this book and teaches us what He'd have us to know tonight. You really can't separate one from the other tonight. Do you know that? I believe that me and you cannot get anything outside of reading this book, but we're not going to get anything outside of this book if the Holy Spirit don't open it to us tonight. I was thinking tonight on the way here, I remember years ago, and I can remember that Bethany and Summer were just little at this time. And I remember I'd come in, and I've always been one to like to lay out my messages, and I like outlines. I do. Don't mean always I'm going to preach them, but I do like having them. They make me feel secure sometimes. I mean, I should be honest about it. They make you feel better about things. And I remember the Lord before I left the house. I remember the Holy Spirit just began to deal with my heart. I don't remember what the subject was, what the thought was, but He just began to deal with my heart about some things. And I'm like, Lord, I've already studied. I've already got this ready to go. And I remember sitting down on the bed and tying my shoes. And I said, Lord, if You'll just give me some Scripture to go with that thought of what You'd have me preach tonight, I'll preach that tonight. I mean, man, I had no more to pray, Dad. And about 10 seconds while I was tying my shoes, man, some Scripture come flooding into my heart. I thought, okay, Lord, that's what I'll do. And I was still a little unsure about things because as preachers, we sometimes get things on our mind. And you just want to make sure you got the right message for the right hour. I mean, I'm concerned about that. I really am. And so I remember getting in the car. And me and Kelly used to listen to Brother Langston. We'd get in the car early enough. Brother Langston come on WLIL out of Lenore City. And we'd listen to Brother Langston coming to church. And you know, when I turned the radio on, and there he was. He was preaching the same Scripture, almost with the same thought that I was going to preach when I got here. I said, Lord, I'm going to take that as my stamp of approval. And that's what I'm going to do when I get there. So what I'm coming to tonight is the Holy Spirit will direct our heart, but it's always with the Word of God. You know, He'll give us what we need. We'll learn how to live in Him. But you know what? I looked at this. I thought about what they learned. He said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. You know, one of the things that we learned from the Scripture about things that were aforetime, we learned that we can trust the Word of God. We learn, you know what Paul was telling right here? He said, look, we can look back and we can see that we can trust and believe the Word of God. I mean, you can believe the book tonight. You may not be able to believe nothing else. Me and my wife was having this discussion on the way here tonight. They just ain't a whole lot you can believe tonight. You can't believe nothing on the news. You can't believe nothing on Facebook. You can't believe nothing. You surely don't believe what's on social media tonight, do you? Surely you don't do that. I mean, listen, anybody can put that on there and say whatever they want to tonight. Listen, they can get on there tonight. But you know, the thing about this now, when you pick up this book tonight, you can believe every word that it says. I mean, he tells us over there in the book of Luke, I believe it is. I know in the book of Matthew that this book is not going to pass away tonight. 1 Kings chapter 8, he said this, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he hath promised, and not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." You know what he said? Whatever God told Moses, Moses told us, that's what happened. You know, he says right here, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. You know, they learned that they could trust the Word of God. Take your Bible and go to the book of Daniel tonight. Daniel, flip back to the book of Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. And Daniel 9, if I'm not mistaken, is the chapter where Daniel, he was interceding for the nation of Israel, for the Jews. It was getting about the time of the 70 years was going to expire that they were down in the land of Babylon. And he understood that by the writings of Jeremiah. But as he is praying to the Lord and asking for forgiveness, look in verse 11. Daniel 9 in verse 11. We'll go back to verse 10. He's in the middle of his prayer and he said, "Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed the law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges, that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil, for under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obey not his voice." You know what Daniel's saying? Daniel said, you know, we look in 1 Kings and they said, "Blessed be the Lord that's given rest unto his people Israel. Nothing failed that he told Moses." You know what Daniel said? "Everything that you told us, Lord," and he's talking about the book of Deuteronomy over there. He said, "Everything that you told us that was going to happen, if we done it, it's happened." We can trust the good and we can trust the bad that this book says tonight. We can trust every example that was given to us. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He wants us to learn some things, you see, from the Scripture. He wants us to learn. It's true, but he wants us to learn that it's our example tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look in verse 1. "Note moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized and Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." Now, let me stop right here as I'm going to continue to read on. Paul condenses some things and for lack of a better word, crams them together and tells us exactly what Israel had done in just a few verses right here. He said, "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for our examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Wants us to learn some things. What did he say in the book of Romans over here? He said these things were written aforetime, were written for our learning. That we'd learn how to serve God, we'd learn how to follow God, we'd learn there's consequences in not doing that, but that there is blessings in following God tonight. So he said they were written aforetime, were written that we might learn. And so then he said this, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. I want you to look in verse 5. What does your Bible say right there? Now the God of patience and consolation. You know, if you look up the word consolation, you know the very first word that it uses for a definition? Comfort. You know, God is a God of patience and consolation tonight that will give us comfort. So he says we learn those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture. You know what patience means? It's a calm temper which bears evil without murmuring or discontent. Or it's the suffering. And why is there always suffering to deal with patience? The suffering of afflictions or pain or toil or calamity or the provocation or some other evil with a calm, unruffled temper. It's an endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. I think most of us understand. We think having to wait on somebody to come and pick us up or meet somebody, man, I had to have patience to see them today. No, that's not really having patience. That's just learning to wait. I'm going to listen, patience is talking about a time when we're under stress, if you let me say that. Let me put it to you like this. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, he said, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. Now, notice what he says next. He said, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, and in fastings. Do you see the company that patience keeps? He said, talked about afflictions and necessities and distresses. Take your Bible and go to the book of Romans chapter 5. Just back up about 10 chapters here. Romans chapter 5. Now I'm talking about we learn some things from the Scriptures, and one of the things that we learn is how to have patience. Look in Romans 5. I believe that's where we need to be tonight. And look in verse 2. Romans 5 and verse 2. Or verse 3. Let me see. Is it verse 2 or 3? Let's look in let's back up in verse 1. Why not? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. And patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. So what brings patience into our life? Tribulation. You know, one of the things that we learn out of the Scripture is that in a time of tribulation, in a time of trials, in a time of problems and storms and valleys or whatever you want to call it, that God can give us patience. He is the God of patience and consolation tonight. So we found, what was it in the book of James chapter 1? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I believe it was at one time the Scripture talked about that we'd all heard of the patience of Job. You ever heard somebody say, boy, I wish I had the patience of Job. How did Job get his patience? He done it through trials, didn't he? Done it through tribulation. 2 Thessalonians in verse 1, he said, So we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So he says in Romans 15, he said, whatsoever things were written aforetime for our learning that we through patience, tribulation worketh. Patience. You know that it is through patience that we learn to wait on God, ain't it? You got to be patient to wait on the Lord sometimes. Reckon how patient Job was. Job didn't quit, did he? But Job waited on God. How many people have we seen quit God while they're waiting on God? Their patience run out.
You know, some moms and dads, they talk about when they get aggravated and all these things with their children that my patience just run out. I've had mothers, I don't ever remember a dad saying this, but I've had mothers walk out that door back there and it had nothing to do with what I was preaching that day, but they would say, "You pray that I have some patience with my children." I don't know. I'd say, "Okay, I'll do that." I'm thinking, boy, it must have been a bad day at their house this morning, is all I was thinking. Patience. When our faith is tried, patience. You know, the church at Ephesus and Thyatira and at Philadelphia in Revelations 2 and 3, they were commended for their patience. You know, in the time that we live in right now, boy, we just about have to be patient, don't we? Got to be patient with other people. Now, this is going to come to dealing with other people here shortly, so stay with me. I know what time it is. I'm going to hurry. But it's in patience we have to wait on the Lord, and it's in patience that we have joyfulness. You say, how can that be? Colossians 1, he said, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering. So now we've got another definition for patience. Long-suffering means to suffer long. As my pastor used to say, long suffering with joyfulness. Some of us have had patience, but how many of us have had patience with joyfulness? Well, we're shouting her down now, ain't we? It's in patience that I believe that God does His great work on us. It's in patience that we can help somebody else. You know, to help somebody else, as he talks about in verses 1 through 3, that you got to be patient with people sometimes to help them. They don't get it. They don't see it sometimes. And sometimes to see God do a work in their life. You know, if you go back and you look, I believe it is in the book of Luke chapter 8, he talked about sowing the seed. He said, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. You don't bring forth fruit, you have to have patience. You don't go out and plant a seed today and expect to see it to grow tomorrow. You got to go out there and in toiling and tribulation, that's my wife, you got to put a hoe in her hand, that's tribulation time. Amen. Suckering, that's tribulation time. Pulling weeds, that's tribulation. I'm saying that, listen, it's through patience that we see God work. But then he said this, that it's in the comfort of the Scriptures. He said that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. You know, in a time when you need patience, you need comfort. Imagine if we had to be patient, if we had to bear up under tribulation and under load and under trials, but yet there was no comfort. And so now he said the comfort of the Scriptures. You know, we have comfort in the Scripture tonight because we could trust it. We take it, we read it, we believe it. Ain't that what he said? That they were written for our learning, so we learn it. We understand it by the help of the Holy Spirit tonight. And we take it and we apply it to our life. And the Scripture can give us comfort in a time when we have to have patience. Have you ever just read the Word of God and it would comfort you because you could trust it? When He will never leave us nor forsake us, or we get to see it and put it to use and find out that it's true tonight. I don't remember exactly what my wife said here the other night, what Scripture it was. But she said, "You preachers talk all the time about the Word of God becoming alive and dancing across the page at you." And it done it for her here a while back. And when it does it for you, when you actually see the Word of God come alive and you see it work for you, hey, it does something for you. It comforts your heart because you find out that it's true. You find out, I thought about it like this. But let me just take your Bible and go to the book of John chapter 20. And here's kind of how I always kind of picture the Word of God working, if you let me do this. And Christ has arose. It's still dark. The tomb's empty. those ladies have went down there to see him. They were going to go to anoint him. In John chapter 20 and verse 13. Go back to verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Now, it seems to me, let me park right here for just a second. We know it's dark. We understand that. The Bible tells us that at one point. That when they come down to the sepulcher, it's dark. But here these angels are, one at the foot and one at the head. And all she wants to know is where Jesus is. And as she turns away, I guess what I'm trying to get to the point, you think that with them angels standing there, that would have made a definite impression on her. But she's not got the answer that she wants because she's looking for a particular answer. How many of us is that way? When we're looking for a particular answer, even though God's trying to help us and show us something, we're still looking for a particular answer to a particular prayer. Well, I've been there. I know all about that. And so the Bible, she said, I don't know where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back. So she just turns around from them angels. And saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Now I've always wondered, how was she going to do that? How was Mary going to go get him? But I want you to look at verse 16. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Here she is standing out here at this tomb. Nobody else around except two angels and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks to her. Now he had already spoke to her once and said, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? But he said her name. And said, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. He became alive to her right then because she knew who he was. I kind of think that's how this book works. And what I'm saying is we read it so many times and we hear it, but it just, for whatever reason, sometimes it just don't come alive. But there are times that the Lord just speaks to us through this book. And just like he called Mary's name, and she knew exactly, he become alive to her right then. This book becomes alive to us. I want you to look at what your book says, and I'm going to close. That we through patience and comfort of the Scripture. Aren't you glad you can read your Bible and find comfort? Seems like a lot of people don't find comfort in the Scripture. But we can find comfort in the Scripture. Notice what it said. And comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Might have hope. Hope for what? Might have hope. Hope in Christ. Hope in Jesus. He's real. Our salvation's real tonight. We read, we find out that we have hope that what God had promised, God is going to do. I think that's the greatest thing about the Old Testament, that we have the Old Bible, what we call my grandmother calls it the Old Bible. And we was talking about that the other day when I was out there. One reason, the great thing about the Old Bible is that we find out that God was true and we can trust Him. You know, hope, here's the definition for hope. It's a desire of some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it or a belief that it is obtainable. Can I tell you, hope for the Christian goes more than just a slight expectation or a belief that it is obtainable. It is obtained. See, that's the thing for the Christian. We've obtained it tonight. We know the help is there. We know salvation is real. We have it. Eternal life is real. We have it tonight. And our hope in this book that we have in front of us, that we can trust it, we can read it, it's real, it'll help our heart tonight, and no matter what happens, God will see us through. Now the God of patience and consolation. That's what He is tonight. Let me say this, that as we read verse 5, the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. You know what? It is in through learning and patience and comfort of the Scriptures to have hope that we can help each other and that we can strengthen each other and help us get through this life. I'm glad tonight we've got a book tonight that we can trust. We've got in front of me and it tells me the truth. I'm glad for that tonight. And it gives me hope because of the patience that He gives us to help us through trials and tribulations. And friend, and that to give us comfort in the Scripture. Let me ask you, have you ever just read your Bible and say, Lord, I need... Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been on both sides of this thing, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. There's times I've told the Lord I needed some help. And I'll be honest with you, it really seemed like help wasn't coming. It seemed like help wasn't coming. I'll just be honest with you. That's how I felt. That's how I really felt. But you know, obviously somehow He helped us and got us through it. You know, there's other times I said, Lord, I'm going to have some help right here. And all of a sudden, that help comes. It comes through this book. I'm so thankful for that tonight. Let's stand to our feet if we would tonight.